Amen. I love that song. That song just knocked it out of the park right there. Amen. I like that his love never fails. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in the Amplified, verse 7, love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. My footing is here today on love. Love was established before any trial or any tribulation ever manifested itself on this created earth. I position myself on the side of strength, which is love, in comparison to the menial temptations that I'm facing in this current day. I don't occupy and concern myself with the drops of discomfort that are in comparison to the oceans of his love that he established in himself, the God of love, before the foundations of this earth. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. I can sleep at night knowing of his love that he has for me. I can sleep at night knowing whatever hell that day brought me, love has been greater and far in place well before my circumstance ever manifested itself. And because he orchestrated love and not me, my security is in the greater one and what he has done, not the uncertainty of my present. Love never fails. The one thing that you always have and that you can always bank on is God's love on your behalf. He created that. The infinite, almighty God created love on your behalf because God is love. I would question love failing if God failed. But because he is ever faithful and because he is ever active and diligent on your behalf, I rest easy because love has been established. Under all circumstances, it endures everything without weakening. I'm grateful for the constant flow. When I'm standing on a weakened and unrocky, unsteady ground at this point currently in my life, I'm speaking towards everybody. I don't focus on where I'm missing it. I don't focus on where I'm falling short. I don't focus on why this promise hasn't manifested itself yet. I focus on the surety of God's love and leave the responsibility with the one who authored it. Don't base anything on my love because I've fallen short. The love that I have is because the Father has made his abode on the inside of me, and that allows me to love. Until you know the love of God, you can't adequately love somebody else. When he is love and takes upon himself the name of love, he's the author and the finisher of it. And I'm saying this because you have to understand God's love that he has for you, and understand that what you're going through is fails in comparison to the greatness of his love. I understand that we've been going through things. I've understood that there's great momentum and movement in this church, and when you have that, you have resistance. But there's a strength that the Father has for you in a way that He has made that if you stick to that, you'll always overcome. Always overcome, because love never fails. I want to share with you a couple of verses. This isn't in the message today, but I believe it. There's been such a heaviness in a sense. And I'm not saying that everybody's, you know, going through something. Praise God if you're not. But I'm just saying that whenever you're moving in the direction of the Lord, there's resistance in that. You know, Paul says, a great door of effectual has been opened unto me, but in it are many adversaries. There's been resistance in my strides and in my movement. There's days when you wake up and you don't want to go to work. You don't want to start your day. You don't want to take on the responsibilities. You feel like giving up. You're feeling like quitting. You feel like everything that you've done has been thankless with no results or no fruit of it. You feel distracted to the point where the last thing I want to do is read or pray. The last thing I want to do is step foot into the church. I've been resisted in moving forward with God. But there's hope here for you today, and there's strength. In Isaiah, the 40th chapter, the 31st verse, in the Amplified, but those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in Him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in Him, shall change. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in Him, shall change. Instead of taking the energy and putting it on my failures and weaknesses, take your energy and put it on the One who has never failed and draw yourself close to Him and wait on Him, and the change will come. As human nature, we've done everything we could to bring resolution to this. From working more hours, to trying to be a better person, to try to be in church every day that we possibly can. We've tried to read, we've tried to do things naturally. We've tried seeking medical attention, and all those things are good and wonderful. But if you apply your energy to waiting on the Lord, you shall see change, and your strength will be renewed. Run towards God, not away from Him. You remember the prodigal son? He squandered all his wealth that he had. He took of his dad's inheritance. He squandered all the wealth that he had. And he was in a position where he soon had to get a job. And upon getting the job, he was feeding the pigs. And being hungry, he looked at the pigs and he says, man, that looks like an appetizing meal. From one that had a wealth and a fortune to now digging the trenches and digging the dirt. The one that for some reason or another, through his own decision-making, had brought him to the ditch. For some reason, the faults on his part, something that he had done, something that he had devised and schemed and planned, had brought him to the place where now he was in a position of weakness, where failure was now accepted from him because of the decisions that he had made. Nobody got me in this mess but me. I've done wrong. I had an inheritance, and I've been frivolous and careless with the inheritance that has been entrusted to me by my Father. And because now I have squandered and belittled and neglected the inheritance of the Father, my course now is to humble myself to a position of eating with these pigs, and that is rightfully so my position. it dawned on him to the point that he said, if I could go back unto my father, if I could just serve. If I could just work for him. If I could get a position in the church where I could do something. If I could be nice to so many different people. If I could serve so much in the community. If I could give to so much charity. If I could be a light and an example to so many different people. Maybe my father would hire me back. Before the prodigal son could explain to his father his condition, before his list of works had been held up and shown to his father of things that he could do to come back into his good graces, before he had an opportunity to apologize to his dad to get into his good graces, the father looked in the distance and saw his son well off. Before there was any merit established on the one that is the slop eater with the pigs, he saw him off in the distance and he ran towards him and he grabbed him and he hugged him and he said, my son that was dead is now alive. Father, I've sinned before you. I know you're doing everything in your ability to try to be right, and it seems like you're not measuring up. I know you've been frivolous in your responsibilities with the things of God. But the Father stands up, who is all love, and sees you afar off when you're in your lowest of lows, when you're in the ditch with no top, when you're in the darkest place of your life, and he begins to pick up his feet and run in your direction. And he tells them to slaughter the fatted calf and take my ring and put it on his finger and take my robe and put it around him, because love did not permit him to stay back and stay silent. Well, he was way off. He ran towards him and said, I understand that you thought you were dead, but today you are in a position where I call you alive, and my love is there to meet you. Glory to God. That's the love of the Father. Not based on you doing everything right, but you based on a decision. Father, my heart is to serve you, to love and honor you. That's all the Father needs to hear. He's in a position where he's about ready to spring to meet you. The God that never left you nor forsakes you. The God who sticks closer to you than a brother. The God that has always been there from day one in your lowest of lows. If you turn and acknowledge the Father, say, Father, I missed it. Father, I messed up. This is a trying season, and Father, I know you understand it, but your love is far greater than what I'm going through right now. So I'm pressing into you instead of my own natural abilities to try to get me out of this, because I would never come to a point of measuring up, but since your love is in place, I'm grabbing hold with everything that I got to your love, and you'll get me through to the other side of this. Glory to God. That's the love of the Father that he has for us. And I'm just following the Holy Ghost here, because there's been trying seasons for everybody, and people have been going through different things, and there's been some resistance, there's been some pressure on you, there's been things where it's like, man, I haven't prayed, I haven't read, so I accept a certain amount of defeat in my life because I haven't. But love never counts the work system. Love was in place, established by God, not by your merit system. So don't view the Heavenly Father in the way He loves based on your eligibility in your works. You serve and you give because you love the Father, first and foremost. Love is in a position that moves on your behalf whether you're worthy of it or not. How do you know? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You deserved damnation. You deserved defeat in hell. You deserved those things because your merits couldn't pay the price to get you out, but then love stood up. Love stood up and became greater for the one who is the love ambassador himself and said, Jesus. We're getting into our message now, but we're going to go to a different place. Turn with me to Ephesians, the second chapter. Thank you, Father. Ephesians, the second chapter. So many times, people believe that God can, but they don't believe that He will, or that He wants to on their behalf. Funny for us, being that Jesus died 2018 years ago, that our thinking would be as such that God would not move or do anything on our behalf because He already did it. I'm not justified by my works and my merits by what I will do. I simply look back to what He's already done, and I get my counsel through the greater one that was given for me, Jesus. I'm not saying that I intentionally live disrespectful in a manner that belittles what He's done. But I am saying that I'm a human being and that I'm not perfect and that I miss it at times. But instead of mellowing in the mire of my failures, I can turn my eyes towards Jesus and move in a greater flow of love than anything that I would ever face. In Ephesians, the second chapter, the fourth verse, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus." Can you bring up verse 4 for me in the Amplified, please? Look at what this says. "But God, so rich is He in His mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which He loved us," keep going, "even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, He made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ." It says, in order to satisfy the intense love that He had for us. In other words, God wasn't satisfied until He could be a display of the love He has for us. In other words, God, our Heavenly Father, couldn't sit still until He moved on our behalf, because love so much filled Him, He's like, I got to do something for them. I got to bless them. I got to provide a plan of salvation. I got to move on their behalf. Love on the inside of me is far greater that I've got to move now on their behalf. I can't sit still. I can't hold my pace. I've got to do something now for my children. Why? Because love has taken hold. And in order to satisfy the intense love that He had for you, He redeemed you and He gave you Jesus. And He raised you up and He made you sit together in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. And I like how it says in verse 7 that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. So that in the ages to come, he can look at the one who couldn't stand still to love somebody. Through the ages to come, through the love that he displayed towards you, all of a sudden, through the ages to come, people are like, I see the love of God in them. I see someone that paid the ultimate price by giving their son Jesus Christ because something rose up on the inside of it. What is it that would cause somebody to give their only son? What is it that would cause somebody to reach an extended hand towards the heathen, the backslidden, the disgraceful, the trash, the people that disrespected God in every area, the murderers, the people that are in the prisons? Who is it that would do that? Love. Love stood up and says, things can't stay the way they've been. I've got to do something on their behalf if they would just let me love them. Glory to God. God not only can, but he wants to move on your behalf. He can't stand still until he does. Love is what fuels everything that God does and everything that we should do. God's love does those things. Will you bring up Romans 5:8 for me for the sake of time, if you'll bring that up for me and the overhead? You're familiar with this verse. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That word commendeth means exhibit, display, stand near, introduce. He commendeth or introduced his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I didn't see it before until it was introduced to me. I didn't know it before until it was introduced to me. I thought I had to remain in this level of defeat. I thought I had to remain in this level of brokenness. I thought I had to remain in this level of disgrace, of anxiety, of pain, of everything that I can imagine. I thought that I had to remain in that until love was introduced to me through Jesus. And then I realized that the Father's love far superseded my ignorance. He commended his love for us. He made an exhibit of his love. God doesn't view his love as a cheap thing, because that's why he gave you Jesus. And the same love that he has for Jesus, he has for you. Why? So that you can be an exhibit. That's why I said that you can't adequately love someone else until you've received the Father's love for yourself. The unconditional, the one that wasn't based on what you have or have not done, the one that was based on love and love alone, because a choice was made on your behalf. That's what the Father did through Jesus for us, so that in the ages to come, you could be an expression or introduce others of God's grace and mercy that he has for us. He didn't willy-nilly sit you in a seat of authority so that you could admire the view. He sat you in a place of authority so that you can be an exhibit in the ages to come of his goodness. When people look at you, they see love. And I don't know which way this message is going, but the utterance is here now for that. So oftentimes in the seeker-sensitive, it becomes about the things and the stuff and the focus on those things. God wants us to have nice things. He's became poor that we might be made rich. Provision, rich meaning unlimited supply. It doesn't mean Bentleys and Rolls and all that other stuff. Hey, if that's your heart's desire, whatever. I'm not judging the people that have it, because, hey, that's between them and God. But I am saying that the supply that he has brought to you for this time is to have the surrounding of love for it. Because even your faith released apart from love? In Galatians 5:6, it says that faith worketh by love. And if you've eliminated the love aspect of your faith, then it becomes a selfish wanting things. And oftentimes, because God's going to demonstrate through you, people need to see the love of God. Well, all my needs are supplied. Why? Because he loves me. I've been healed in my body. Why? Because he loves me. I'm financially stable. I'm out of debt, or I'm working on getting out of debt and my bills have been paid. Why? Because he loves me. I didn't merit it. I didn't earn it. I didn't earn my salvation. I didn't earn my healing. I didn't earn my prosperity. Love set it in place. And so now I've chosen to take my rightful authority position seated far above so that I can demonstrate to the people in this generation, my friends, my colleagues, my co-workers, a demonstration of the love of God. Well, I see that this happened and this happened. I saw that you should have been taken out, but you made it. It's the love of God. I wish I could merit something on my behalf that stands my feet here right now today, but it's only because of the love of God. I wish there was some kind of credential that would gain me an acceptance into the outside world, but unfortunately, not everybody likes me. But the love of God, shed abroad in my heart by the Holy One, all of a sudden becomes far more attractive than this shell that would try to put on some facade or merit to create some kind of acceptance. I'm focusing on the greater here, and that's what we have to do, because so many times we get so works-minded and so works mentality that we miss the love of the Father. And if you'll turn with me, because now I'm led to go back to Revelation, the second chapter. I want to show you this. Revelation, the second chapter. Last night, I'm grateful for the Lord in the leading in some of these things. Last night, I ministered along these lines in Erie, but it was far different than what it is today. And I'm grateful for that, because last night, just to tell on myself, the Word of God is good, and sometimes there's a flow, and you want to minister according to what the Holy Ghost wants to let the people. And last night, some things just seemed a little cockeyed. They didn't fit together. It was the Word, and it was good, but it was like, dear Lord, I hope these people are helped. My goodness, I talk about the love of God. And you just feel that way. And I, you know, the Word of God is good, and you don't look for any accolades or anything like that. But there's been a reorganizing of this message today to suit our needs. And I'm grateful for that, and I love the Father for that. In Revelations, the second chapter, we're going to read a couple verses. And Pastor Tim, over the course of the last number of weeks, has been talking about the seven letters to the seven churches and their significance of them. In Revelation chapter 2, starting right there in verse 1, it's to the church at Ephesus. It says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He says, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and now how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. He says, Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Let's stop right there. Jesus is saying, I know you've been serving. I know you've been giving sacrificially. I know that there's been people that have come amongst you and called themselves apostles, and you said, no, you're not, to keep the people, the church safe, and the people safe, and the church clean. I know you've labored. I know you've showed up early. I know you've served in the parking lot. I know you've given yourself to the ministry. I know you're here early every Wednesday and every Sunday. I know you've been given of your time. I know you've been praying with your kids, your children. I know you've been trying to live a moral and excellent life. I've seen those things, but I have something against you. He says, you have left your first love. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. He says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. He's saying, you've been doing works, you've been laboring for me, you've been doing all these things, but you've left your first love. In other words, the love of the Father was greater to him than every work that you have done. And he says, you need to go back to the first works, and you have left your first love. Remember that time when you were born again or you were saved? Before you ever stepped one foot in a church, maybe you were in a church when you got saved. Before you ever gave one dime, before you ever served in any capacity at all, remember when it was just about the love of the Father, when you came to realization that I'm nothing apart from Him, when you come to the realization that the only reason why air is in my lungs right now is because the Father has blessed me and allowed me to walk the course of this earth, when you realize that there's the Father and that's only it, everything's shut out around you, and all you want to do is soak in His presence and love Him and honor Him. And everybody that sees you, you want to be a blessing to them. And you want to give to them because you love the Lord and He loves you. And there's a revelation of those things. Pastor Tim had said something one time, and I remember hearing it from Pastor Michael concerning our family. You understand the love of the Father when you have kids of your own, and I've understood that. Now that we have Aaron, and we have one that's due any time now. And Pastor Michael had mentioned the parent and the children relationship in raising kids. And he says, rules without relationship equals rebellion. Rules without relationship equals rebellion. How much more the do's and don'ts of rules without the relationship with our Heavenly Father. He's saying, I see that you've been serving. I see that you've been giving. But you need to come back into the love that I have for you. The love will be the platform by which you serve. If you give yourself to the works, you've given yourself to showing up, you've given yourself to serving, you've given yourself to the parking lot, you've given yourself in all these capacities to the things of the Lord, but if you're missing the foundation of love, it becomes laborious to you and you lament having to do it. Because rules without a relationship from the Father equals rebellion. I don't even want to go to church. I don't even want to serve today. Why do we got to do this? Everything in you. Why? You're missing the love of the Father, because the fuel of His love, I can't wait to get there, because all of a sudden, it's no longer about me. It's about the Father. And because I love Him, I'm going to be there early and with a good attitude, and I'm going to serve in that capacity. He's like, you've been running a spotless, flawless church here. But you've left me. Almost in respect, I'd rather have you take an intermission from what you thought merits my attention towards you, separate yourself unto me, and understand my love that I have for you. Then you go out as a result of your understanding based on God's love. This church is phenomenal, excellent, because you people love the Lord and He loves you. But let us not ever get into that position where how I'm serving and how I'm loving the Lord is through the works. And we've negated the relationship that we have in spending time with Him, because He says, you've done all the works, but you've left me. I've been wanting to fuel you and move on your behalf, but you're too busy serving. Imbalance. Man, Pastor Brad, you're looking at the other side of this. Rightfully divide the word, and this is what I'm saying. Yes, you serve. Yes, you give. Yes, you come to the house of the Lord, but you got to have the right heart and move, because otherwise it becomes a works mentality, and you're bringing your works before the Lord. In other words, I've been believing you for this long. Can't you see I've been serving? Can't you see I've been doing this? Can't you see I've been doing that? And He's like, I just want to love you. Love already put your answer in place before you did any of this. And so that's the emphasis here. Love has to be the groundwork and foundation behind your relationship and why you serve. I serve because I love the Lord. I give because I love the Lord. I serve in the parking lot. I do nursery. I do this and I do that because first and foremost, I love the Lord. It's not laborious to me because the foundation has been set by the Father, and I move in what He's already graced me to do. You see, there's a shift there. And so many times, people be like, serving God's such a drag. I just give myself and I feel drained. Have you spent time with the Lord? Have you understood His goodness and His love that He has towards you? Have you understood those things? He wants to move strong on your behalf if you'll let Him do that. Glory to God. I want to look at a couple things in Ephesians, the third chapter. Ephesians, the third chapter. We're going to start in the 14th verse. This is a prayer unto believers. Ephesians 3:14, it says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. He's saying that you would be rooted and grounded in love. This is Paul praying for believers. These people are born again. They've already experienced salvation. They've already had a revelation that Jesus had died on their behalf, and they've received Him, accepted Him as their Lord and Savior. Paul says, wonderful, you're born again. I pray that you be strengthened with all might by the Spirit in your inner man, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and breadth and height and depth. In other words, envelop yourself so much in God's love that you are in awestruck of the length and breadth and depth and height. That when you understand the magnitude of what you can't grasp naturally, all of a sudden, the menial labor, the menial trial becomes very small in the gist of the length and breadth and height and depth. A place where God so encompasses and overwhelms you that my security now is far greater in the one than in the circumstance or any natural thing. To believers, that you would be rooted and grounded in love, that you could comprehend what is the breadth, the height, the depth of His love. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And we like verse 20, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, according to the depth of His love. I like what it says, 19 in the Amplified, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. Praise God for knowing God corporately. When we come here today and you can hear the ministry of the Word, and there's no greater anointing than right now in the corporate anointing, God speaking to you through His Word of God. But it says here that you would know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. God is in the show and tell business, and He wants to make Himself real to you personally and individually. He doesn't want you to know Him by your works. He wants you to know Him through your works. He doesn't want you to know Him by your church attendance. He wants you to know Him through your attendance in the private times when you go before the Lord and it's just you and Him. There's people that are here that are in different places. There's nothing in the world like hearing the voice of the Lord. There's nothing in the world like being led by the Holy Ghost. Oftentimes, and this isn't a testimony on my behalf by any means, but oftentimes I get choked up. I try not to bring my emotions in the place of ministering. But sometimes when you step back and the Lord is using you and you're being led in a capacity, who am I? You know, it's just such an awesome thing that He does. But He wants each of us individually to experience Him personally. Not just when you come here. This is an addition and supplement. But individually in all your lives, if you take the time to diligently seek Him, He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You give yourself time to go before Him, and He will show Himself strong. And it's not based on you doing everything right. It's you just having a willingness to go before the Lord, who knows your faults well before you've ever confessed or said them. Father, here I am, and I need to know the breadth and height and depth, because I understand that Your love is greater than what I'm going through right now. And I need Your love through personal experience for myself to manifest, and that You would know that love. And it says in verse 20, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, in context concerning His love that's shed abroad in you. That is that power in you. He does exceedingly abundantly above. Why? Because He gave Jesus. He established those things that were beyond your understanding well before you even arrived on planet Earth. So He's wanting you to know that love and walk fully in those things. Romans 8. If you'll turn with me there. Romans, the 8th chapter. We're going to start over there in verse 35. You all know this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors. What? Through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I love how verse 37, oftentimes it said, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors, and that is rightfully so, but we've only quoted half of that verse. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. That's why I say, when you stand on the foundation of the depth of His love, everything else becomes very small because of the proximity that you now have with the Father. Don't know how this bill is going to get paid, but that's not my concern. The love of the Father is far more real to me than any deficit I'm facing right now. Don't know exactly how this healing is going to manifest, but the love of the Father gave Jesus on my behalf, and by His stripes, I am healed. Don't know how my children, my wayward children, are going to come back serving God, but what I do know is that I am with the One that is the author and creator of love, and now I know that everything's going to be all right. What is our job in this? To know the breadth, the length, the depth, the height. We do have an assignment. And you all know how faith works, how faith operates. In Galatians 5:6, if you'll bring that up for me, it says that faith worketh by love. Even your very own faith, and I had mentioned this before, needs to be girded through love. Otherwise, there will be a selfish tent, and that's that seeker-sensitive that Pastor's been talking about. People that become more about the stuff without the love attached to it, that's what it becomes, is the stuff. Where love that's shed abroad in your heart, when you release your faith, it's on the embetterment of the whole and on the betterment of the body. God wants you to experience and have things for yourself personally, not separated from His love. When it becomes more about your faith being released for the car, the house, the whatever you're believing, the vacation, and all those things are wonderful, but don't separate it from love. We're going on a vacation because the Lord loves us. We're going to have a bigger house because we have a need of it, and the Lord loves us. We're going to have a better vehicle than we have right now because of the love of God. That's the reason. It's the Father, and my faith is connected with love. Faith worketh by love. When it becomes just about the stuff, there's the twist. All of a sudden, your faith is being released to the selfish side of things. Well, I want this, I want that. And all of a sudden, the love has been removed from the faith operation. You see, everything is governed by love. You're serving your very own faith. And we're going to look at last, we're going to actually end here. It just feels good that that's where we're supposed to end. In 1 John chapter 4, glory to God. We're going to start right there in verse 16. 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believe the love that God has to us. He is speaking in reverence. Remember that Paul had made mention earlier that you would know the love of God, the height, the depth, the breadth. And here he's saying, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. He's saying, maybe we haven't arrived, but we've applied the effort to understand God and His love towards us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. There's the revelation right now. That if we're going to be a demonstration to the ages to come, to be in a position of dwelling in God and God dwelling in us, because God is love, that people would see that. They would see God through our lives individually. Why? I believe that the love that God has for us. For the last couple months, when we pray, my wife and I together, we're normally praying over our son and different things before he goes to bed. We say, Father, we believe the love that you have towards us. Maybe I haven't understood or grasped it to maturity or to a place of a greater understanding, but my faith is being released more in the understanding of your love than the house that we need right now. You see what I'm saying? Or the vehicle that we need right now. Because if I can have an understanding of how much you love me and want to move on my behalf, everything else is very little in comparison to you wanting me to have that for myself. When I begin to press into your love, I understand you want me to have a house. So I rest in faith, not in the things. I rest in your love. It's far greater than any natural thing. So my energy and effort is released in the faith of your love, not my things. The things will come as a byproduct of the depth, the breadth, the length, and the height of the Father has towards you. I don't have to concern myself whether I'm going to be healed in my body because love is in place. And so, yes, by His stripes I'm healed. Yes, He sent His word and healed them. Yes, all the scriptures, He is the God that heals. He forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases, Psalms 103. Yes, release your faith, but don't negate the love of the Father. Release your faith in knowing His love towards you, and those things will be understood and be established. So there's a nuance of an understanding that you have. That's why it's like, know the breadth, the depth, the length, the height of it. Verse 17 says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because He is, so are we in this world. As He is, so are we in this world. As He is love, so are we in this world. If you have an understanding that you are God's love in this world, how would that in return affect every decision and action and attitude that you have? God's love resonates on the inside of you, and if you realized that you were a container of that love, that would govern everything else. Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you would love others as I love you. In other words, the love that I have towards you, not eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Love someone as they love you. Even the heathens can do that. Be good to someone that's good to you. That's an easy thing. Love someone that doesn't love you. Love someone that persecutes you. Love someone that belittles you or puts you down. Someone that steps on your back to get elevated in their position. That's all of a sudden coming into a small understanding of the greatness of His love. Because as He is, so are we in this world. The greatest thing that He has in this world is you. The greatest display of His love towards this generation, this people, is you. Praise God for the supernatural. Praise God for visions and signs and wonders and miracles. But when someone didn't deserve it and you went up to them and said, hey, God loves you and I love you and I want to see the best for you, someone just got rocked to the core. Because so He is, so are we in this world. And it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. They haven't arrived. In verse 18 in the Amplified, it says, there is no fear in love. Dread does not exist, but full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown in the love, complete perfection, in love's complete perfection. Love turns even fear out of doors. The fear of not knowing. I don't know how this is going to pan out. I don't know what's going to happen to my kids. I don't know if we're going to make it. I don't know if this sickness is going to take my loved one. I don't know if all these things. But if you have an understanding of God's love, faith is established and released in the love of God that God has towards you, and you can move strong on their behalf. It expels all fear, because when I'm in God's presence, And when I have His word and His promise to me that I've experienced personally through my love relationship with Him, fear doesn't have hold. I'm not anxious or have any anxiety about tomorrow. I'm not so concerned about a financial predicament right now because I know that I'm loved. Amen. I trust your help here today. God not only can, but He wants to. If you'll allow Him and release your faith to press into His love and have an understanding of His love, not just the works aspect side of it and all your serving. When we serve and we're diligent and we come here, it's because we love the Father. And we learn and we're taught that we can have a greater love towards Him and understand His love towards us. That He's not some foreign entity floating out in the cosmos somewhere that we have no personal relationship with, because God's an all omnipotent being that, praise God, He did a lot of good stuff, but that doesn't pertain to me right here and right now. No, He made it a personal thing that He wants to visit you individually and make Himself real to you. Why? He loves you. He loves you here. That's why at the beginning of service, love never fails. Whatever trial, whatever tribulation, whatever you're dealing with or going through, love never fails. Love sees those things and sees you through those things. That's the love of the Father. I never go to my son, well, I'm just going to let you deal with this. I'm just going to let you trip up for a little while. I'm just going to let you fall down the stairs a couple times, run into walls, eat stuff. A loving father understands the provision of those things. Yesterday, Aaron's been dealing with some stuff, and it's just one of those things. You know, every parent, you deal with symptoms and stuff. He got a sinus infection, and there's been some lack of sleep in the Hofer household, because when he's up, everybody's up. Not everybody, everybody. Especially at 2 o'clock in the morning. But anyway, you know, he's been taking baths. We give him a bath every night, and sometimes he has those little splash balls. They're like, they mush, you know, but they fill with water, and then you can get some weight behind them. Man, you can get after them. Well, sometimes they sit there, and they get the bacteria and different things on them, and then all of a sudden it's like, eat. That's why I say eat stuff, and so on. Sinus infection, and we think that that's it. But I never, in everything that he's going through, I never said, well, this will teach you not to do that. I never say, you shouldn't have been doing that, therefore you deserve what you're going through right now. When everything in my heart and my wife's heart is, if it costs me my life, I'll do it. You understand that when you have kids. That's what the Father did when He gave Jesus. That love couldn't be satisfied until He saw every one of you. And He looked down at the only one that could pay the ultimate price, His Son Jesus, and He said, I'll do it. I'll do it. For people that spit on Him, blasphemed Him, did everything wrong. That's how great love is. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We glorify you, Father. We thank you for your great love that you have for us. Father, we're so honored to be your children. We're so honored to be your sons and daughters, to be of the household as having you, our Father, the God who is love. So, Father, we purpose this day in our hearts to press into our personal relationship with you, to experience your love for us personally. Despite our shortcomings, our failures, Father, where we've missed the mark, where we've gone astray, we thank you for your grace and your love that you gave us through Jesus Christ. And Father, we purpose to know the length and breadth and depth and height of your love for us. We know that love never fails and everything else falls in the shadows of the magnitude of your love. So Father, we leave here today changed. We leave here today with a greater understanding that you have moved already on our behalf because love stirred you to move for us. Father, we give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, still in an attitude of prayer. I don't know everybody here today. And at Family Church, we never want to minister the word without giving an opportunity for you to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior personally. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. See, there was a debt that needed paid on your behalf. And there was only one that could suffice that debt, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. So he died on your behalf that you could spend forever in eternity with God the Father. That is the greatest example of love that mankind will ever know. Maybe you're here today, maybe you've heard this message. You said, that's all great, I understand God's love, and I want to love the Father, and I want to experience that for myself, but you need to know how to enter into that relationship. Because Jesus has already died on your behalf, it becomes a very simple and easy thing. It just comes down to the point of you accepting what he has already done. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The 13th verse says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that means that everybody. It's not a works system. Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace you are saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It wasn't how good of a person you've been. It wasn't if you've gone to church. It wasn't if you've given to charity. Those things don't save you. Those things are good to do after you're saved and you're moving with a heart of love towards the Father. But if you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. All heads are bowed and eyes are closed. What I'm going to have you do is in a moment, I'm going to have you lift your hand if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord. And I promise you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to make you come down front. I'm not going to give you a microphone that you can say anything or do anything like that. But you'll have an opportunity to accept the Lord right there in your seat, right where you sit. What we're going to do is we'll all say a prayer corporately together so you're not singled out. We'll all be saying this prayer. And you'll have an opportunity to pray right there in your seat and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus your Lord and you want to this day, can I see your hand? I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Is there anyone else that you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior? And today you want to be born again. Make your life new. I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you. I always ask people, I see that hand. You can put it down. Thanks. I always ask people, if you were to die today, do you know for sure that you would be in heaven? And if the answer is, I sure hope so, or I think so, that's not good enough. You can know by accepting Jesus as your Lord. I don't want to pressure anybody, but this is a serious nature. It's so easy. All you have to do is receive Jesus. That's what the qualifications are to get you into heaven and give you everlasting life. Is there anyone else that wants to get in on this prayer before we pray here today? Anybody else? Praise the Lord. All right, everybody with heads bowed, I'm just going to pray. Everyone repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. That's it. I'm telling you, it's so easy to receive God's love for us. And if you prayed that prayer and you meant it in your heart, you confess that, you are now a new creature, a new creation in Christ. So I appreciate everyone being here. I appreciate this family. I invite you that if you are visiting here today, maybe I should have started this at the beginning of the service, but there was such good utterance and flow that I went on. I'm Pastor Brad Hofer. I'm the associate pastor here. It's been one of those services. Pastor Tim and Pastor Kate Stallman are our senior pastors, and they are the ones that are anointed and appointed to lead this work and to lead this ministry. And so if you're here today, I invite you, come on back, because I know that they would want to meet you and get to know you and minister to you. They're just wonderful people, so I encourage you, come on back. And please don't judge this ministry based on the message today. I believe you were helped, and I believe God is good to give us some nuggets that we can go out and be doers of the word. But I invite you, please come on back to meet with pastors. They'd want to meet you. Glory to God. Before we dismiss, why don't we go ahead and stand to our feet? Let's worship and honor the Lord before we go. Father, we bless you, we thank you, we glorify you, we worship and honor you. We thank you for your word, Father. We leave different and changed in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. Glory to God. You are dismissed.